Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs. Oh yeah, good morning everybody. Good morning. I hope you had a great Labor Day. Of course, getting that victory on Saturday certainly made the weekend a lot better as the Illini jump out to a 1-0 start on the season, beating Toledo 30-28. Jay Lehman is in the house. We're going to talk all about it with Jay. Kyle Tosk here as well. Pipe's gone this week. I had a chance to chat with Luke Altmyer, Illinois quarterback. We did that yesterday. He and I actually took Labor Day and worked. So
you labored on Labor Day.
We labored. I don't know that you call this laboring, but I guess I showed up to work.
You know, my old linebacker coach said, Lehman, the world needs ditch diggers too.
There you go.
You could be doing that if you don't want to be at football camp.
No, no, thank you. Yeah, I agree with that. So you're going to hear from Luke at 4:05. It was taped yesterday, but we have a little bit of change. We have an audible this season. Luke Altmyer is going to join us the rest
of the
year. Yeah, instead of Isaiah Williams. So good stuff there, and excited about talking to the Illini quarterback the rest of the season. So normally it will be Jay Lehman on Monday, as we know, and Luke Altmyer on Monday as well. But because of Labor Day, you were kind enough to come in today, Jay, which we appreciate. Did some great work on Big Ten Network this weekend.
Thank
we'll get
you,
to
sir.
All of that. But boy, am I itching to ask you some questions about Saturday night. But before we do,
yes,
who makes this possible for you being here?
Our title sponsor is Iroquois Federal. Guys, Iroquois Federal is your one-stop shop for all your lending. We're not just talking about owner-occupied loans, but investment loans, commercial lines of credit. Talk to Mark McHale, Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane, all there at Iroquois Federal. Great team located in Champaign and Savoy. Savoy just off Neal Street, and then in South Neal right there by the movie theater, and then at the crossing, Windsor Crossing, right off of, I believe that's Windsor, right? Windsor and Duncan. So make them your one-stop shop for bank. They are my go-to for all my investment clients and for my banking needs. I use Iroquois Federal for my business banking and all my loans.
I mentioned to you real quick that, you know, I do a lot of certificates of insurance, et cetera, for clients that are with Iroquois Federal. And I always have the hardest time spelling Iroquois.
It's tough.
I don't know why.
Between Iroquois and Prairie, I don't know what's harder.
You know what? That's a good point.
Because there's an AI or the Prairie State, and there's another bank in town that has a certain name. Yes. But you know, between Prairie and Iroquois,
that's a great point.
It's a brutal existence.
Or right? Isaiah Williams, you spell his first name.
Yeah, well.
He
does it the correct way, I think. I think
probably.
Juice Williams left out an A.
That's what it is.
And it was if you did it. I love Juice, but you could spell a name any way you want,
anyway.
But it was not the normal way that you usually see it spelled.
That's a good
but
call.
But back to Iroquois, Iroquois Federal, Insurance Providers Group, IPG, Kyle Lewis. Kyle does all my habitational insurance, does my home, does my auto. He's good for life. He's good for health. You need to email Kyle. That's Kyle@IPGINS.com. Kyle@IPGINS.com. For all of your insurance needs, Kyle Lewis is my guy. Okay, in Long Branch Steakhouse, Donnie's not here in the house with the steak. It's not Monday. Man, if you want some ribeyes, if you want the tomahawk ribeye, you got to get there Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m.
Good.
I'm telling you what, it's an experience in downtown, beautiful, eclectic Gifford.
Someone on the U of I Atlantic Lake text line said, tuning in just to find out if Lon lived through Saturday. That was the longest day of my life.
What time did you get there, Lon? Six?
So we got there at 6:45.
Were you in charge of the breakfast this time?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. We did breakfast. We did eggs, bacon, sausage, toast.
Okay.
But I was down at our place at Mill Creek, so I got up. I literally got up at 4:15 in the morning. I walk out into the sunroom to try to kind of wake up, even though the sun's not out. And I noticed that Jimmy Buffett had passed away.
Oh, man. Yeah.
My guy, you know. And so that kind of put a damper on the day. But it's an hour drive then to Philo to get the kids.
Okay.
Because then we all loaded in and we went. So let's just put it this way. In between, we walked like almost a mile to the Illini Inn and back. And then what? I think I got home around 12, I guess. And so basically 4 a.m. to 12. And I texted everybody the next morning and I said, I will not do that again. I will not now sat like this coming, or not this Saturday, but the next one against Penn State. You know, that's a normal one. You get there early.
It's
the game's at 11.
Yeah.
I'm out of the tailgate lot by 5, you know, and I'm home during the daylight. I feel good. I swear to you, I woke up Sunday and I felt like I was 80 years old, and it had nothing to do with being hungover. I hardly drank. I hardly drank Saturday because I just could not do it that long.
Yeah, the whole day.
I'm too old. It was too hot. I couldn't stop sweating. I'm fat. So it's like, nope, I'm not doing that stuff anymore. You'd think I at least lose a pound. Maybe I lost one, Jay. Maybe I lost one.
You sweat bullets there in the fourth quarter, we think, right?
Oh, my. Let's get to this. Okay, let's start positive. It is better to learn from a win than a loss.
Sure.
And number two, I think you will take a lot from week one to week two and improve, and I hope, please, on this defense especially. But what did you see on the positive side before we also look at some of the negative?
So on the positive side, I thought the biggest question marks that Illinois had at quarterback and also in the secondary were actually their most resounding answers.
That's crazy.
Had, right?
Yep.
So we had questions coming. We said up front, this team's going to be really solid. We didn't necessarily see that. What we did see is Luke Altmyer, that first drive, be very, very on point, right? And has the ability to throw short, throw long. And Brett says has great touch on the ball as well. We saw that. We didn't see many, you know, one sign of great touch is that receivers don't drop the ball.
Yeah.
We had some drops last year, if you don't remember. Remember, we had some drops. And although DeVito was accurate, I thought that the touch, it's a more catchable ball for Luke Altmyer. So the first drive was great. I think they had like 14 plays after that in the first half. They were not on the field that much, right?
No, they weren't.
They weren't on the field that much. And what Luke Altmyer did in the second half, guys, we got a quarterback with his legs, made a ton of plays, Ooh. Right? 69 yards rushing, not counting the negative yards he had from the sacks that he
had.
And also that fourth down play.
That was incredible.
I mean, if you've been an Illinois fan for a long time, we've seen this play out in the opposite way, right? It's like, okay, there's a chance, and it never happened.
What was tougher, the throw or the catch?
First off, I think the throw.
I do too.
Because you had Isaiah Adams come over to right tackle because Chrysler was cramping up. Then Adams gets banged up. Then they move Gaskey over right tackle.
Yeah.
And on their number one rusher, hits him an inside spin move and honestly just destroys Luke Altmyer.
Oh.
I can't believe Luke Altmyer got the ball out.
I don't know how he did.
On the postgame interview, he said, what did you see in that play? He said, not much. He threw it up to a spot, right? Throws it up to a spot. So that throw was on the money. It was borderline pass interference on Casey Washington. Now, they're not going to call it late in the game usually, right? And if you're an Illinois fan, we know they're not going to call it, right? Because we don't get those calls, right?
Or Purdue or,
yeah. Right? So, and then Casey makes that catch, right?
He made
and
an
so
unbelievable catch.
That, to me, that's like a top five big-time play I've seen in a long time at Memorial Stadium, right?
I mean, would agree.
Like, I'm like, wow, that was a special play. And for Luke to lead his team, he gained not only a bunch of respect from fans, but from his teammates.
Big time.
He's the bona fide guy. We've been hearing about him.
Yep.
But I was really impressed with him. For the most part, I was impressed with Barry Lunny's play calling and his design. There was some stuff on third and short and whatnot, where I was like, man, we've got to mix it up. Mm. And I know that's our identity, right? But the question is not can I run. It's can I run the ball when I want to run the ball? When everybody in the stadium
knows
running the ball.
Running, yeah.
Can I run the ball? And that's not just in Illinois. That's in other programs. Purdue had like, I think, 5 third and ones they got nothing on.
Wow.
Michigan playing against Western or Eastern Carolina had a play. They ran 3 times a row for 0 yards, right? So, I mean, can you run the ball when you want to run the ball, right? And so I thought Altmyer was a positive. I saw our receivers with Pat Bryant taking a step. I think Isaiah Williams, as good as advertised. I think Tip Ryman, I got to see him involved early.
Yeah.
Right? I'd like to get
Henry
him
Boyer
even,
did a couple
more.
Good things.
Yep, Boyer. Yep. And then also Casey Washington. You're never going to be a burner, but great hands, right? And so I like those positives.
Can I, real quick, on sticking with Altmyer real quick, it's amazing that, first of all, that's his first start ever in college.
He had 52 snaps coming in.
And it's his debut for Illinois.
Sure.
He's like, you know, he even says next week when I talk to him, next hour when I talked to him yesterday, he's like, you know, Lon, I'd never seen an Illini game. So, I mean, everything was new. The Illini walk was new. All of that was new to him. And for him to play like he did, Jay, and I know, look, it was one game, right? But to know that you could have that kid for the next 3 years, how excited are you as a lineup?
I mean, first off, what if we had a quarterback that we could say, hey, we got this guy for the next 3 years? Maybe Wes Dunn? We're like, hey, this – but I think he's adds a lot more athleticism than Wes did. He's got a similar touchable ball as Wes. He seems to be much stronger in the pocket than Wes. I mean, the knock on Wes was he was not strong in the pocket, right? Now, he was running for his life half the time. But some of his plays, like in the red zone, when he stepped forward – on that pass rush was able to break a tackle or two and get a first down up into the middle of the line. His ability to run the football was the difference in this football game that gave them a chance to get back into this football game. We said DeVito would give us 3 or 4 first downs critically in a game because of his mobility. There was 5 or 6 first downs that extended drives because of Luke Altmyer, because we couldn't run the ball that effectively, Reggie Love and McCray.
Before we get to some of the struggles, I know Lon mentioned this coming off the top, learning from a win as opposed to a loss. I'm curious, how important is that for in week one for this team to come
That's
out? They came
question.
Back from down double digits in the second half. Luke Altmyer leads that game-winning drive. How important is that kind of for the mentality, the confidence in the locker room to have an emotional win like that in week one?
That's a great question, Colin. And here's what I would say is, I would say, unfortunately, in football, the losses and bad plays sting the most. I can still hear the Memorial Stadium crowd go, oh, when Jay Lehman missed a tackle, right? Or when Brian Leonard from Rutgers.
That didn't happen very often.
When Brian Leonard from Rutgers jumped over Champ Bailey for a 65-yard scamper, right? I mean, I still remember the, and it prints on your brain. So I think you always, just as a young person, right, the failures really hit you hard, right? But what I love about this game is that, hey, you were in the fire a little bit. You had to come back. It's going to build confidence for down the line. And I hope this coaching staff realizes and these players realize, hey, we almost had a MAC team, albeit maybe the MAC champs and the defending MAC champs, come into our own place and really dominate us. We're lucky to get a win. What can we do to fix that moving forward?
Jay Lehman, our guest, of course, and we do this normally every Monday. You guys know that, but with Labor Day, Jay was kind enough to come in today. Can I give some credit to Toledo?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, things that Illinois didn't get done, and it's a little bit shocking and a little bit worrisome, maybe not a little, but Toledo, this team, Jay, could be 11-1 at the end of the year. And I know it's a MAC school. I still understand and I get all that. And really what I had said even Friday in my prediction of Illinois kind of dominating, especially defensively, that didn't come true. What I said for 3 weeks about Illinois dominating the line of scrimmage on both sides, that certainly didn't come through. And I want to talk and get your thoughts on that. But let's give Toledo some credit. They got a hell of a quarterback. They've got a really good wide receiver who's related to Johnny Newton.
Right.
And, you know, I thought their offensive line, it's a veteran crew back. I think five of the five back. And this is a team that's going to go out and kick a lot of butt this season.
I mean, Jason Candle's a good coach, too.
Big time.
Right?
Good call.
I mean, I think he outcoached the Illini staff. I think you look at the numbers, and I think they had a better game plan. I saw from Toledo, up front, they were dominating our defensive lineup front, which was scary. We saw double teams, and we saw the line of scrimmage moving in favor of Toledo. I also saw, the game plan, it seemed like, for Illinois was to contain at all costs Daquan Finn. And I think that took some of the edge, some of the aggression off of some of our good pass rushers, Coleman, Newton, Randolph, Gabe Akis, right? Where they felt like they were so concerned about the contain. And yes, Finn did struggle a little bit in the pocket, right? Throwing the football. But at the expense of what? Us not getting much disruption at all. You know, I was talking about, and you were talking about Toledo. Toledo has got to feel really good about this game. Not that they didn't win.
No, no,
they
wanted to win. I get it.
But that they dominated supposedly the best team up front in the Big Ten West, right?
Yep.
And I was telling you before we got on air.
This statement scared the hell out of me, by the way.
I was more excited about Illinois football after the Indiana loss last year than I am about the Toledo win this year. Okay? And I am not, you know, ringing panic bells. It's one game. People can have bad games. Had a lot of new coaches out there.
Sure.
Some players can play bad and whatnot. But if you go back to 2021 season, in near the end of that season, whether it was Penn State, Minnesota, Northwestern, we dominated up front.
Yeah, we did.
And then we dominated again against Indiana. And there was not a game where we got pushed around, really. There was maybe sometimes at Purdue we got pushed around a little bit and schemed up a little bit. But there was not just a game where we got dominated up front. Mm-mm. This game, guys, we got dominated up front.
Wow.
We got stopped on 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. We gave up 1st down. Guys, we didn't come to play on 1st down. Think about this. The 1st downs, they were averaging 5, 6, 7 yards a 1st down. Well, now they can run or pass, right, on 2nd and short. So we can't really dial up a pressure. We're just going to play base defense because they could run or pass. So we struggle on 1st down because we don't get any push from our front line, okay? And then we don't get any pressure on 2nd down because it's run or pass. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
We don't have any sacks, really, to speak of. We have that one intentional ground was huge, but then the guy makes up for the big scramble afterwards, right? We don't have any success, really, on 3rd and 4th down getting stops, consistent stops. Turnovers, we tie, albeit our tie was a pick six, right? And in the red zone, we were pathetic.
Bad.
Okay? On all those money topics, we were bad as a defense, and Toledo executed on those.
Big time.
They executed on 3rd and short. They executed in the red zone, right? They executed when they needed to, and so when I look at a team that got outplayed in every fast, that was the Illini.
Yep.
They're lucky and very fortunate to get a win.
On the Big Ten Network, you even gave a When I believe, who was the host? I was trying to think.
Dave Revson.
Dave Revson said Illinois was 3rd in the Big Ten last year in penalties. And you kind of gave a, I didn't realize that last year. And, of course, they come out and have 9 in the first half.
Bad ones, too.
Bad.
First of all, Tariq Barnes, I don't know what happened. I never saw it. What happened? I couldn't see it.
I didn't either.
On the broadcast. But that led to 3 points.
Yep.
Okay. Gabe Backus won in the second half, right?
Late in the game. Late, almost cost you the game.
Almost.
It
probably, without a miraculous 4th down play, does cost you
big
the game,
time.
Right? And there was a number of other penalties, pass interferences and holdings and different things. We just didn't play well at all.
Mm-mm.
9 penalties for 90 yards and a half?
Ugh.
You let the team go all the way down the field on penalty yards, right? And so there was a ton of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. I read between the lines of Brett when he was talking on late last Saturday night. He was happy to get a win, but there were some definite things he thought when we did not play great. He said some of our best players, especially defensively, didn't play great. And that's what we saw too, right? That's what we saw too. And so there's a higher standard. If you're going to be an all Big Ten player, as Ron Zook used to tell me when I had a bad game, he'd say to me and Bonte, he'd say, hey man, you know, if you want to be an A-plus player, you got to play A-plus games.
Mm.
He's like,
That makes sense.
I mean, you say you're an All-American, you got to play like an All-American, right?
Yep.
It hits you can't say anything. It's just like, okay, well, if I want to be the guy, then I got to be the guy on Saturday. I got to make the plays. I didn't think our best players played their best.
I'm anxious to see some grades from this game.
I don't know if we'll ever see the grades, but I'm sure they were bad.
They were bad. I totally agree.
I think the defensive line grades, and maybe not so much on the outside linebackers. They didn't get much pressure, but they were kind of containing. I think the interior linemen – for both offensive and defensive linemen struggled. So,
okay. I want to dig deeper into that when we come back. Now, I know it's easy to sit back and just listen to Jay, but if you got to snap out of it sometimes, if you have a question for us on the U of I Line and Link text line, send that in at 359-2255, 217, of course. 359-2255. Kyle Tosk and myself will still continue to hammer away at Jay Layman, but if you have a question, we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. I want to get nitty-gritty on that defensive and offensive line and ask you how much worry we should have and how much can get better in even 1 week for something like that now that you've kind of seen what you have. I also want to ask you, can a coordinator, whether defensive or offense, do they get too much blame and too much credit? I want to ask you that
good question.
We come back on that side as well. So 359-2255, more with Jay Layman It is the drive.
Ready for an exciting change? At Merle Norman, we can take your look from ordinary to extraordinary in a matter of minutes. Our innovative skincare, perfectly matched foundations, and on-trend colors will make a difference that's written all over your face. Come in and see what a makeover can do. We'll help select the products that are just right for you, and we'll teach you tips that the pros know about applying your most flattering shades. Ask for your free express makeover today, calling 217-359-8100, or visit 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
Here's your OSF Healthcare Medical Minute.
Hi, I'm JT Barnhart, the president of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. I want to start by just thanking our providers and our staff, our mission partners at the hospital for the great care that they take of our community in providing the services. One of the new offerings that we have coming up in the next couple of months, we've recruited an interventional pain provider who will be able to do some of those injections and procedures to help people who are struggling with long-term pain. In conjunction with that, we have an orthopedic spine surgeon that will work together with the interventional pain provider to really offer a robust spine pain service for the community of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas. We have also brought in a brand new open heart surgeon. He is doing a really good job, really helping us expand our heart program to be a more regional heart institute at OSF in Urbana. And so want to just continue doing the great things that we're doing around our cardiac program to offer a great service for the community.
For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Illini fans, gear up for the start of football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, yeah, here we go. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. No Pipes today, no Pipes this week. He's down probably walking around naked on the beach, you know, just getting a nice little
tan.
Yeah, he's in Florida.
That's your neck of the woods. Usually it's Lodge. It's like he goes back.
Hold on. I'm going Saturday,
oh!
So I won't be here next Monday.
But you tan up pretty good for a blonde-haired guy.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Yeah. I feel like I don't get the burn necessary. I feel like I work a decent tan.
Yeah, you do work a decent tan.
Lot of years of trying to get that tan down in Florida.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you've done well, man. I've been through the WAND days, bro.
I didn't have the money back then, I can promise you that, to go to Florida very often. And I was raising kids. You know how that is right now.
Well, and it's raising kids. And I think every Friday night frenzy, you were there like filming with a camera on your shoulder.
Boom.
You know, St. Teresa takes on Sarah Gordo. Okay.
Britt Miller, better athlete than Jay Layman, up the gut for 25.
But a worse gut. Speaking of guts, but a worse gut. Better athlete, but a worse gut.
I love getting you guys going with each other. I don't know that he's a better athlete either, but I'll leave it at that.
I'll give it to him. We did run Champaign Central versus Eisenhower at track meet. I did get dusted by him and Justin Harrison, but can you blame
me? Man, were going against Harrison and...
Yeah, I mean, that's who I had to run against, guys. I ate the humble pie. I wanted to get better, right?
Hey.
Let's go.
Well, I think you did okay.
I did
as an All-American. I loved when you were talking. Who's on the set with you at BT?
James White.
James White. And you were like, let's see. I'm an All-American. He's won 3 Super Bowls. You're like, I think that kind of trumps me.
It does. I mean, it's like they're like, you know, a 3-time Super Bowl champ. I'm like, I'm sitting next to a 3-time Super Bowl champ. caught catches from Tom Brady for a decade.
Unbelievable.
You know? You're just like, okay, yeah, the All-American stuff can kind of go by. It's kind of like going to a job resume and be like, hey, but in high school, I was president of the FFA, FHA. Like I was Future Farmers America president, you know.
And I was homecoming king.
Yeah, it's like they're like, dude, we don't really care,
don't
right?
Care.
It's done, bro.
What have you done for me
lately? Speaking of that, let me tell you what my sponsors have done.
Yes,
that's Iroquois
let's do it.
Federal, guys. Iroquois Federal is your one-stop shop for all lending. Mark Mahill, Bob Guido's done a ton of loans for me.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta talk to Bob. Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane, if you're an owner-occupied lender, if you need a commercial line of credit, your business needs a loan, you got to talk to Iroquois Federal. Insurance Providers Group, Kyle Lewis, Kyle at ipgins.com, auto, home, life, habitational. They can do it all. make sure you email Kyle@ipginst.com. And of course, if you're hungry, Long Branch Steakhouse, like the ad says, I love the fried pickles. What a great sight. My kids will go there, love the fried pickles, fried mushrooms, and the onion rings. Bam.
Boom.
You got a good little fried little appetizer menu.
It's
there
good.
Too.
Well, and when you stay in shape like Jay, you can handle the fried food.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest.
I saw a picture a lot when he was 38, like me, though. When he
yeah.
He was ripped up.
I was pretty
thin. He needed a needle and thread, man. He was so ripped.
Well, let me tell you, this defensive line, Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, Gabe Backus, Seth Coleman, on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
You're playing Toledo. Now, we just bragged about Toledo.
Sure.
So I want everybody to understand that. But you got to do better than that.
You got to do better.
So why weren't they able? Was it more of the double team on Johnny on four? I want to get to you also about maybe the defensive game plan and how that – did that hurt them?
Sure.
But just your take overall on this unit, and do you expect them to perform a hell of a lot better or just better against
Kansas?
So
let me start with your last question, okay. Which is, let's say I was just watching these guys and I had no idea who this team was. I had no idea if it was Johnny Newton or Keith Randolph. I'd say, man, I'm really concerned about the defensive line this year based on that performance. Like if they didn't have jersey numbers, and I didn't know, right? Now, I know what Johnny Newton's been, how he's developed.
Absolutely.
I know Keith Randolph and what he's done. And I'm not overly concerned because I've had bad games in my life where I didn't play as well as I should have for one reason or another. We don't know. Was somebody banged up? Was there a personal thing going on? We don't know. And I will say this. Keith might have not had a ton of stats. He did cause that intentional grounding.
He did.
And he was solid, I think, for the last three quarters.
I agree with you
100%. So I don't want to just lump everybody into, like, the D-line was horrible. I thought Gabe did a decent job containing. Gabe Backus would love to take that penalty back. I know. I thought Seth Coleman, I need to see him show up more. If you're an outside linebacker, you got to produce. As my coaches used to tell me, listen, it's not enough to be out there and do your job. You got to be a playmaker. If you're a defensive guy, you don't have plays called for you. You've got to make stuff happen.
That's a good
point. I talk about defensive linemen, I'm not necessarily concerned about sacks or TFLs. Those are great. But what I love to see disruption. Johnny Newton is so disruptive. You know, when your tailback doesn't have to even break stride until they hit the line of scrimmage, that's a 3-5 yard gain. But when they're able to do what Toledo's D-line did and make Josh McCray stop his feet, bubble to the right, and restart his feet, that's a zero game play.
That's a great
point. That's what Johnny Newton was able to do all last year. Now, Johnny Newton, to his credit, was double teamed all game, but we saw Johnny Newton split double teams last year against better teams, right? And be disruptive. We very rarely, if you look, and they were doing what they call a pin-pull scheme where they down-blocked and pulled guys around. Usually we go right through that, right? And I just didn't see that. I didn't see us making that back what I call bubble, making a bubble cut, meaning he can't run straight at the hole. He's got a bubble outside, which gives every linebacker, every DB an extra step to get, which can be the difference between that guy getting the corner and not getting the corner, between a 7-yard gain and a 2-yard gain. We're at 2nd and 3 instead of 2nd and 8. Now we can't pin our ears back and bring a blitz, right? And bring the pressure that we want to bring. So then Aaron Henry's on his heels. Well, I got to play 7 for pass and run. So behind the whole time. And so I didn't like how they played, but I'm not necessarily concerned moving forward because I know these guys, but I have my eye on them for Kansas.
Yeah.
I want to see a difference. And I know Brett wants to see a difference. I know the coaches want to see a difference.
Kyle, when we look ahead, and every week we try to run a Jay Layman soundbite going into the next game, that magic that he just dispersed right there, that's the one that I want to replay again because that was a wonderful answer.
Well, I kind of want to steal your question from right before he went on the air because I think it's a good one. Knowing that, does it give you a little bit more optimism knowing that the assumed strengths were the groups that struggled. The defensive line, the offensive line, we know that those guys can be a lot better. We've seen them be a lot better than they were. And the strengths were actually quarterback, the secondary, the two units that you had a lot of questions about. Does that make you more optimistic going forward, or would you have rather seen those guys dominate a MAC team? Maybe some of the assumed growing pains show up.
Great question. I'll tell you an example.
It was my question.
Yeah, I know. I stole it.
I'm
kidding you guys.
Well, we all have bad days. I'll tell you what. Last Wednesday on Big Ten Network, I love it. Lod's got to get his credit.
I got to get my crack.
Got to get the crack.
I admit it. I stole it. I just thought it was good.
He gave that. Yeah. So here's the deal. I think we all have bad days. On Wednesday, I'll tell you, I was at Big Ten Network on Wednesday, man, and I was fumbling all over my words. I was bad. Live TV, it happens sometimes. You're like, man, that was not my day, right? But I got confidence in myself that I'm like, dude, I'm better than that.
Heck,
you know?
Yes.
I'm like, let's go, right? So I got a ton of confidence, like I said, in these guys moving forward because I've seen not one game. I've seen 40 games these guys have played.
Amen.
Okay? I've heard what the coaches have said. I've seen what scouts have said about them. Guys, we got bona fide guys. But the fact that the DBs did so much better shows me that, you know what, I might misprint, but I think Antonio Fanellis is the new coach.
Yep.
And Aaron Henry, we've got great defensive backs coaches. I mean, I think they've done it. We've seen that the last 2 years, the development of guys. Ryan Walters was part of that, obviously.
Yeah.
But to have guys like Miles Scott, who plays receiver last year, come in and have a chance not just get one pick, but he had a chance at two, right?
Yeah.
To see Xavier Scott be a special player. Sounds like Tyson Rooks out of Georgia is going to be a great player. He's just a little bit nicked up. Matthew Bailey sounds like he might be ahead of schedule, right? So they're banged up. We know Tyler Strain went down. Elijah McCantos had to come in. So now we're at the second corner already. And we got at the other corner, we got Taz, who struggled with some penalties. But I would say this. Overall, it's like, wow, we're coming out. Did we have a great throwing quarterback going against him? We did not, right? And I think that's where the game plan benefited us because it was like, hey, stay in the pocket. He can't beat us if we contain him. Now, he still got out a little bit.
He did.
Made some throws. But overall, they thought that Finn couldn't beat him as a pocket passer. He could beat him as a mobile guy. And so that was the game plan. And that part worked, but I didn't think that we had as much the guys call it dog as a defense.
Yes.
There wasn't much nastiness and dog that I would like to see from an Illinois defense. Some of that stuff we saw last year, they were nasty. And I think they need to build that identity again.
And Kyle knows, by the way, that if I wasn't ripping on him, then I wouldn't think he was good.
There you go.
He knows that, right? If I ever stopped ripping on him, then he'd be like, wait, I must not be doing my job. You just professionally led me right into what I wanted to ask next because you are a professional. If you just even go to YouTube and watch the 3 minutes of highlights of this game, I can't tell you how many times I saw three linebackers in the middle of the field. And I'm not blaming them or the game plan. I don't know who to blame.
Sure.
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but it's almost like they're just out like in space
no
doing
man's
nothing.
Lane. There's no man's lane.
No Toledo guys around him. And they're essentially watching Finn's eyes and jumping to try to deflect a ball,
sure.
right? Which tells me that the game plan going in was we are containing Daquan Finn. Now, you just said, like, I think they did a pretty good job with that. One other example, if you watch the highlight of the Miles Scott, who, by the way, co-defensive player, the defensive player of the week
The
Big Ten. If you watch that pick on that play, Johnny Newton's on the left side. I don't even know if he engages with an offensive lineman. He almost just shuffles up the field a little bit, almost as though he's got containment because they brought the blitz from a cornerback or a safety on the other side. So do you think that was the game plan? And am I on to something right there? And do you think that'll still be the game plan against Kansas? And if so, do you think they should be more aggressive? Because it seemed like last year they were aggressive every game.
So this is only Aaron Henry's second coordinator game.
Right.
He had a bowl game. He's going to get better. He's going to learn some stuff. He's going to learn, most importantly, what this team likes to do, right? Because like Ryan Walters said, I went man because my guys were comfortable with man.
Yes.
And so here's the biggest thing. The reason you don't run man-to-man against a mobile quarterback is because your eyes have to be on the receivers in man-to-man, not on the quarterback. So I run zone so I can have vision on the quarterback in case he runs, right? Now, in principle, that works out, right? Because I can kind of contain and whatnot. But when what we saw was, man, he was getting a lot of yardage anyway, scrambling. So I think I will see against Kansas – we'll see much more man-to-man mixed in. We'll see some more pressure mixed in.
Okay,
there'll be a healthy dose of zone. But I also think they're going to let those edge rushers go and say, guys, there's going to be times we're going to let these guys go. And they might lose contain. And we got to rally and make a play, right? Because the number one determinant of turnovers is quarterback pressure.
Got it.
Right? Think about it. He's got the ball the most. He's going to fumble the most out of anybody.
Yep.
He's also going to throw errant passes and you're going to get picks, right? So sacks and pressure will lead to turnovers and more negative plays.
Rick and Leroy says, every time Jay says right, we drink. We're getting a good buzz going.
Right. 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 That's good. You know, I don't even realize I say right a lot. That's good to understand my verbal fillers, right? Right.
We all have that one thing we do.
Your crutch.
Your crutch. That's that. I'd rather do that. I'd rather hear you do that than or something like that. And that's what I do too much.
You know.
That's another one. All right, Kyle.
I want to ask about the offensive line and the run game in particular, because I thought, obviously, the offensive line struggled. You mentioned it a little bit. Some of the newer pieces in there, in like Geske and Kreutz, seemed like they struggled a little bit. And then in the run game in particular, I can't help but think back to last year when Chase Brown wasn't on the field. Josh McCray and Reggie Love were the two guys that were getting the bulk of the carries. They really struggled in that sense with last year's offensive line, which performed a lot better. Is that a valid concern? How concerned are you about the run game? Because we know that's going to be a part of their game plan week in, week out under Brett Bielema. And they really struggled, other than Luke Altmyer, at running the ball effectively.
And here's the thing. A running quarterback should open stuff up for your tailbacks because there's another guy you got to account for. I think that's why Reggie Corbin had such a huge year when A.J. Bush was here and a kind of an average year. A.J. Bush. AJ. Excuse me. This is a big difference between A.J. and Reggie. But A.J. Bush was here, right? And Reggie had a great year running the football.
That's a cool thought.
Because you've got to account for the quarterback, right? And so I think Altmyer's going to help our run game, but we've got to block people up front. I think Reggie Love, he cramped a little bit during the game. I don't think either of those guys got great blocking, but I wouldn't be surprised if I saw somebody say that Caden Fagan may get some playing time.
Right?
And they said that they were excited to see him and Aiden Loughery play, right? I think they need some kind of change of pace in that backfield. It kind of felt like McCray and Love were a little bit too similar, and I think Aiden Loughery could add that. I don't know what Caden Fagan, I know, is a bigger guy.
He is
guy. He's much like McCray. So we'll see how it works out. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those guys in. But the bottom line is we got to block better up front.
Yes.
If I've got two NFL guys on my left side in Julian Pearl and Isaiah Adams, I got to be able to get a yard when I want a yard, right? I saw a little bit of that in the third and fourth quarter. I think the push got better, but I'm concerned because it wasn't the push we're accustomed to seeing from this line. And so, but let's remember this. Chase Brown made a lot of stuff happen himself, too.
He did.
We were only sixth in the Big Ten in rushing last year. The 2006-2007 team was number one in rushing each year.
I didn't realize we were sixth last year.
Sixth in the Big Ten in
rushing.
I
did not know that.
We didn't dominate up front as much as we gave a bunch of carries to Chase Brown because guys got hurt and he was the only guy.
Right.
330 carries later, right? We have 1,600 yards.
Wow.
But, man, we got to be better, right? Yeah. And, you know, I will say this. When building a program, like I'm looking at Penn State and talking to some of the Penn State guys who I think Penn State athletically, when you look at them this year, might be the best team across the board. When I look at them, this is the first or second year I think I can say they're actually deep at O-line like they were pre-Sandusky scandal.
Okay.
Like they have like – and so when you're rebuilding a program, the O-line takes the longest. Who we hit JUCO's the hardest for? The O-line.
That's exactly right.
Because he realized, man, I got to get guys in here. Yep. We got two JUCO starters up there right now with Chrysler and Adams, right?
And so, I feel like you're building that depth to where you had to go JUCO now, but I'm thinking down the road you won't have to as much.
I would think so. I would think so, right.
I want to ask one more, and then we'll take a quick break. Offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. We mentioned we thought Barry Lunny had a pretty good game. Aaron Henry, we're not quite sure on that. Do coordinators get too much credit, or do we give them too much of a blame? I mean, it's still you guys out there playing, right? You still have to execute.
I didn't think that the players played great.
Okay.
I do think that coordinators come up with a plan.
Yeah,
overall,
that's true.
Overall, I was pleased with Barry Lunny's plan.
Okay.
Overall, they didn't have many reps in the first half.
No, we didn't.
Right? 24 plays, I think.
Gosh.
Okay? So I wasn't overly impressed with the execution of the defensive plan because I thought it wasn't working. We gave 29 points. So I wasn't happy with anything defensively. I wasn't happy with the play of the players, the execution of the game plan.
That's fair.
Right? I mean, they didn't plan on giving up 20. That would be the second most points they gave up all year last year, right?
Yes.
Now, let's remember,
wow,
against
crazy.
Against Wyoming last year, they did run for a buck 83. Wyoming did. That's, people forget that. So there were some holes defensively, right? So if we look back to week one last year, there are some different things we see that they weren't necessarily dominant in every facet of every game.
Okay.
The biggest thing we remember is their number one scoring defense in the nation. That's hard to do.
That is hard to do. I want to ask you how much improvement Illinois can make from week one to week two, and I'm going to do that after this. We'll also tell everybody about your great sponsors, including – how about this one leading us off on this break? It is The Drive.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter. Whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
Illini fans, with the return of Fighting Illini Athletics this month, now's the perfect time to refresh your Illini wardrobe. Stop by Game Day Spirit, shop some of their great selection of t-shirts, sweatshirts, polos, and more. They have new arrivals coming in daily with great brands like Nike, Champion, and Tommy Bahama. You'll be sure to find something you love at Game Day Spirit. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. The Brian Hansen State Farm Agency will make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call me, State Farm Agent Brian Hansen in Champaign-Urbana today. For details, visit brianismyguy.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, home of their award-winning Honda dealership, a double recipient of the prestigious Honda President's Award. With a legacy of excellence, they offer you the finest selection of Honda vehicles backed by unparalleled customer service. As a two-time winner, they're committed to exceeding your expectations. Visit them today at Route 45 at Burwash or Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. Sarah Champaign, home of Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. That's SarahChampaign.com.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Batteries.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, Lante, Kyle Tosk, it is the drive. We got Jay Lehman. We're going to get to him in just a second. Reminder, Luke Altmaier joined me actually yesterday. I'm just being transparent here. We were able to tape an interview. And, of course, their short week with the game Friday has kind of messed everything up. So we had to get that done yesterday. So we're going to hear that coming out next hour. We'll also hear a little bit from Brett Bielema. And Kyle and I will kind of give our thoughts on what happened Saturday. Illinois gets it done 30-28. That wasn't the case for Purdue. So that was a dangerous thing. And how about Clemson? Wow.
They are not the same as they have been.
They scored 7 points.
Dominated.
Dabo Swinney says the weirdest game he's ever taken part in because they were in the red zone. They were on the 1 yard line twice and fumbled twice. And I mean, that's hard to do. And they missed two short field goals.
Yeah,
so it was just crazy. And of course, the team that beats them, Duke,
yep,
is coming.
I was going to come in here and say that today. You called it 100%.
We start a series with him in 2 years, and it's crazy. All right, Jay Lehman had to hit the road, but he's with us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. What's up, my friend?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing? That Duke game was crazy, though. Yeah. I will say, it was an anomaly for sure. Maybe Clemson's just that bad.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, now, before we get to Kansas, how much improvement do you hope to see out of this Illini team in certain areas?
Well, if you listen to coach speak, well, I'll tell you, we make our most improvements in week one and week two. Well, so does the other team. So never cut. Could improve more, right? That's really my question. And I would say this. I got to see a lot of improvement in the trenches. I want to see the improvement, in our offensive and defensive line play. I want to see our running backs break some runs and in tandem with the running backs. in tandem with the offensive line. Also, I thought, like, Dylan Rosiak, Tariq Barnes played solid. Rosiak had some hits.
Yep.
I also saw James Kreutz make some tackles on special teams. I wouldn't be surprised to see him break into that lineup a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if the first game, if they're not getting what they want production-wise out of certain players, we see other guys get an opportunity to play.
Jay, moving on to Kansas this week, obviously a big game on Friday night. Illinois is going to see a very similar style of quarterback, assuming that Jalen Daniels starts for Kansas, as they saw
yep.
with Daquan Finn this weekend. And he really hurt them on the ground, even though they kind of made it their game plan to try and stop that. He still found a way. What do you think needs to change game plan-wise or schematically on Friday night to try to hold Jalen Daniels in check, at least on the ground?
You know, Kyle, it's kind of like dating a girl. You know, you can change who you are a little bit, but then you'll just get exposed. You know, it's like you've got to adjust, right? But you can't change who you are altogether when you're running a defense, right?
Yep.
Our defense is we want to be aggressive. We don't want one player just to dictate how we play. And I felt like it leaned that way a little bit, right? You can adjust and you can make tweaks. But this defense has got to find what their identity is and not let the offense dictate what their identity is. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we'll see more blitzing. I think we'll see more free rushing from our defensive linemen. I think we'll see a fair share of man-to-man. I also think that we'll, in return for that, we'll have bigger plays, but we'll also give up more explosive plays. So I think there's a trade-off with that. And I think you'll see that this weekend when we play the Jayhawks.
Good call. And Jay Lehman, I want to ask you, what do you know about Kansas? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but obviously this is a team that kind of came into their own last season. It's a team that is expecting big things this season in terms of a bowl bid and doing some damage in that conference. What exactly do you know that you could let us know about kind of what to expect on these Jayhawks?
Well, I mean, Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, right? I mean, I think he was the preseason Big 12 player of the year offensively.
Yeah.
I believe. So he's got a lot of ability. They're very similar into our year last year in that they started very strong, I think 6-0, and kind of wilted as the season went on, right? So I think that says that depth's a little bit of an issue still as they're rebuilding the program. Lance Leipold is a coach that has won everywhere he's went, from Whitewater to Buffalo to Kansas now. He's a guy that's a good fundamental football coach. They're very rarely going to beat themselves when you watch them. Pretty fundamentally sound. But defensively, they're not that strong a team. I think this game will be could get up into the 30s and 40s and maybe a little bit of a shootout if our defense doesn't be improved. Now, it's harder to get up there with some of the rule changes
sure.
and the time thing, and also with Brett wanting to shorten the game. But the game's not going to be shortened if we're playing from behind. And so if it's back and forth all over the place, I think this game could get into the 30s or 40s. They like to score a lot of points. Their defense is not great, but their offense is very, very explosive. They have some weapons.
I know I've asked you this in the past, but it is a quick turnaround. And not only just did you play Saturday and now you play Friday, but you played Saturday night. So, you know, even those 4 hours can make a difference in terms of healing your body, et cetera. What will it mean, and what kind of a unfortunate – well, I say that, but Kansas, the same thing. So what does it mean for a game to just be able to – or, you know, to go one game earlier? What are kind of the hardships with something like that?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I mean, we could then spin it forward to Penn State and say, well, shoot, we're going to have 8 days to get ready for Penn State, right?
Right.
Because we're playing on Friday night or whatnot. But I think coaches kind of get in their head a little bit about how many days you have to prepare and whatnot, and what are bodies feeling like.
Sure.
It's the second game of the season. By the time I get on that plane on Thursday, and I already did a lot of the prep already, they prepped a couple days for Kansas already. It's really the body's healthy. You know, guys like Tyler Strain, who's in concussion protocol, or Isaiah Adams, who's recovering from whatever happened in the game. That's really what you're more concerned about. They're going to be fresh. This is only the second game of the season. And by the time I get on the plane on Thursday as a player, I'm not even thinking about, oh, man, I only played 5 days ago, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are times in the NFL, you play on Sunday and play on Thursday.
Yeah, Good point.
And we've done that, right? So, I mean, so I think that it's a little bit blowing up. I think it's a great thing to say when you come out flat and say, well, you know, the six-day week was quick, blah, blah, blah. Listen, Kansas doesn't care that we had a six-day week. It's like when I went to the team meeting one day and, you know, I think I played bad. I played bad. We got beat bad, you know, and it looks like to everybody, he's like, your girlfriend doesn't love you. You're in pain. Your mom disowns you. Nobody cares.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
Nope.
Nobody cares that, you know, somebody had an off day because of this. All they care about is production. Listen, when you're in big-time college football, it's about production and win. I hate to say it because these are kids and these are people, but no opponent really cares what you're going through.
Good call.
They're caring about their mission. I don't care about what Kansas is going through. I don't care who the starting quarterback is. All I know is there's going to be a guy taking snaps, and I got to beat this guy,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So nobody cares. It's like, I think it's used as an excuse a lot of times, a reason for, you know, the media says, well, why'd you come out flat? Well, I don't really know, but maybe this, maybe that. It is what it is. They agreed to it. They knew it was going to be this. It is what it is. Let's go beat somebody.
Let's go.
I think looking at this game on the schedule, it was – kind of that early season swing game. I know you and Derek talked a lot about it, Lon, on the show. And I'm curious, Jay, how big do you think this game is on Friday night? What could a win going on the road at Kansas, first Power 5 opponent? Obviously, Toledo was really good. That was a win in itself. But if Illinois could go on the road, start 2-0 heading into that Penn State game, beat a Power 5 team on the upswing in their building on Friday night, what could that do for the rest of the season's outlook?
That's a great question. I think it could build a tremendous amount of confidence for this unit, right? For these guys. This is a different team than last year. Always like to compare. But these guys with Luke Altmaier, with some of the new bodies that they have, it's going to build a tremendous amount of confidence. That being said, I have also said I wouldn't be surprised if Illinois was 2-2 by the end of September.
Yeah.
Because of and that was maybe counting Toledo maybe as a game that we could lose. We have a bunch of toss-up games. So even if we lose, this is not a make-or-break-or season game. It's not a conference game. A loss to Indiana was more devastating than what a loss to Kansas would be from a divisional championship standpoint.
Good call.
Right? So is it do or die? No, because I honestly think that gets way overused by people like, hey, it is a chance to take the next step as a program, go beat another Power 5 team on the road, and yes, that would build confidence and increase the chances of an even better bowl game for us.
Hey, Jay, last one for me. We got to give credit where credit's due. The special teams came through. Obviously, Griffin with the winning field goal, Caleb Griffin from Danville. Hugh Robertson punted fairly well. We got about a minute left. I mean, we got to give them credit for coming out and doing their jobs.
Absolutely, guys. If we're going to be a lot of one-score games, it's critical that we execute in special teams, right? Last year, it cost us a couple times, right? Against Michigan State. We had some stuff where it just was – we didn't have the edge in special teams. So not only was Hugh Robertson booting the ball, Caleb Griffin had some good – the kickoff coverage was excellent, I thought. And we had better returns than they did. Of course, can't take for granted the game-winning field goal as well. So – I think we were spoiled for a couple of years there with James McCourt and Blake Hayes. You know, I think one was Irish and one was Australian, and we had quite a combo there, right? But I think Hugh Robertson and Caleb Griffin can get the job. They can really good on special teams. So that's exciting to me because I think it's, we're in close games. We've got to get the edge somewhere.
Good call. Jay Lehman, great stuff as always today. Rip off your sponsors. Oh, hey, we just hung up. He's like, I'm out. Listen, Jay does a wonderful job, and we love the fact that he comes in. And again, a little bit different today with obviously yesterday being Labor Day, but always great to talk to Jay. He'll be here on Monday. I think it's funny. He's like, I got to go, and he took off, and 2 seconds later started raining. I'm like, he's even talented enough to beat the rain. I mean, that's pretty impressive. All right, next hour, you're going to hear from Luke Altmaier, an interview I did yesterday with Illinois' starting quarterback. He also is going to begin joining us every Monday at 4:05. Excited about having Luke Altmaier join us the rest of this football season. Brett Bielema met with the media Was that yesterday? That was yesterday.
Yes.
So we'll hear a little bit of Brett Bielema as well. Still a lot to do. We'll take your questions as well on the U of I Line and Link text line. It is The Drive.
What kind of bedside manner would you like your doctor to have? At Roof Doctors, they make sure you feel good about what they can do for you. They make sure they answer all of your questions and feel comfortable about whatever procedure your roof needs. Roof Doctors has helped customers for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy have helped make lives better in our community with their generosity and kindness. Roof Doctors is a company you can trust if you need anything done on your roof. Roof Doctors in Urbana, they make you their number one priority.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5.